He's going to penetrate the hearts through you or through me that he's targeting. You know, like he's going to reach the people that he's targeting through us. And it's probably not going to be the masses. I mean, he says over and over and over again in the Bible that, you know, wide is the gate to hell, that narrow is the gate to heaven, that the work is plenty, but the laborers are few. So it's going to be smaller numbers anyway. But the point is, it will get to the right people. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I am so glad you're here with me today. Y'all, today it is Wednesday. It's March 20th. And our title today is They Can't Censor God. Be right back. I started to get really upset this morning because, as a lot of you know, I am pumping out my podcast Monday through Thursday and trying to reach, obviously, the women who follow me, those of you who are so faithful to follow. Most of you are watching this in the app, and that's great. But I also have this out on Spotify, and I have it out on Apple Podcasts and all those traditional podcast stations. But I usually will also put a version of it up on YouTube. And I do that mainly because there are people who are searching, and if they can happen upon it, I want them to have that opportunity, and then hopefully we can draw them into the Lady Up America family. Well, today when I logged on to YouTube to go on there and check on a few things, I saw that the last two podcasts I have done, they have totally removed all of my views. In other words, they make it look like nobody's watching. They already make it very difficult for me to get discovered. I think when I ran for office in 2020, I think that put a flag on me. And obviously Christian conservatives who are now new and rising, they make it very difficult for you to rise in traditional platforms. People who are already established before 2020, they tried to take a lot of them down, but they have provable monetary losses that they can show in court. And so I think they're a little less likely to do that with a lot of those, especially after the recent lawsuits where they won. But for anybody new who's trying to rise after 2020, they make it very, very difficult. But even the ones that I am starting to get some traction on, all of a sudden, they'll just wipe out all the views. And I think they do that so that anybody who might happen upon it, they see, oh, nobody's watching her, nobody's listening to this girl, so I think I'll pass, right? So obviously that's the goal in censoring Christians and conservatives, and we see that. So as my blood pressure started to rise this morning, I went into immediate prayer about it. I caught myself, and all of a sudden I heard God say in my spirit, they can't censor me. You know, it's, in other words, his word, like you can't censor God. Right. So I want to take us, I brought my Bible out with me today because I'm going to start bringing it out a lot more often, but I want to go to Isaiah 55. And if you'll turn with me there, if you've got your Bible handy, I want to go to Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read a little bit of this scripture, not just a sentence or two, but I want to read a little bit of it because I want to put it in context and remind us that the disciples did not have YouTube, right? Jesus did not have YouTube, and his word spread throughout the entire world and has not been censored in 2000 years. They've tried to suppress it. They've tried to shut down people who are talking about God, even in other countries. Unfortunately, Christians are, you know, persecuted and treated horribly and all that, but still, the gospel gets out. So you can't censor him. And when I started thinking about that today, I was like, you know, we need to take this as a badge of honor almost, that we must be being effective if they're going to the extreme of trying to shut us up, trying to censor us. But you can't censor God. So let's go to Isaiah 55. And I'm going to start in verse 8 and go from there. So God says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Not are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and providing seed to the sower, that's so important, and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress tree will grow, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle tree will grow, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign of his mercy, which will not be cut off. That's so powerful, isn't it? And I mean, it just seems like the harder the enemy tries to shut us up, the more effective we are, the more influential we become. So it got me thinking about a story I heard around the time of World War II, where the oppressive Nazis were basically shutting down family. It became Big Brother, like on steroids there, right? They would not allow anyone to talk about God, share their faith, share their history of their country. And if you were caught doing that, I mean, it was severe punishment. So what happened was the mothers and the fathers, they would take their children down into the cellars. They would take their children down there by candlelight, and they would teach them about their faith, and they would teach them about the history of their country, the real history. And they were doing this in secret. And that was so effective and had such a profound impact on these children. Eventually, their faith and their history had a rebirth. And it was all because of these brave parents who would refuse to be silenced, who would share their faith and their history with their children. So it just, and of course, we look over history, right? We when we see that the enemy's winning, or we see these governments that are so tyrannical, when we see this every time, if you look throughout history, every time it goes on for so long, and then God comes in and he shuts it down one way or the other. But what we do see in each of these stories, if we look back over history, we always see that the word of God never returns void. Like what I'm sharing with people, it's not going to be celebrated on main stages in this culture. It's just not. God's been really dealing with me about this lately, because, you know, I come out of the music industry, and in that industry, you were kind of judged by how big of a room you could sell out. I mean, it was very important to us when we toured with the show that we sold every room out that we went to. You know, if I wanted to go and do my television show, it was really important. How many markets can we get in? They used to call it eyeballs. Like, how many eyeballs can you get in front of? And that was a measurement of your success. And God's been really dealing with me about this, because this work that I'm doing now, I've never been more passionate about anything, by the way. But this work is not to be measured by how many eyeballs I can get in front of, how many views I can rack up on YouTube. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality of that seed that I'm planting. And that's been a real adjustment for me. You know, at one point, a lot of you know that I worked at the Grand Ole Opry, and I remember we had to sell those seats out, you know, every night. I worked for the vice president there, and who we booked on the show, our office decided who played the Opry. Like, we were the kind of the gatekeepers of that stage. And, you know, when Pete and Gina were deciding, and I was in on those conversations, when they were deciding who was going to play that weekend, the biggest factor was who can sell tickets. You know, I would often advocate for the legendary artists, the legendary members who had helped build the Opry, because I would sit with them in their dressing rooms at night, and, you know, while they were waiting to go on, and I would, you know, just listen to their stories. And they were so proud to still be able to be a part of the Opry. They felt like that was family, that was home, you know, and I fell in love with them. I became fans of theirs, even though I wasn't born when maybe their music was popular, but I just had such a heart for them. because they had such a heart for their music and for the Opry. So I would often go into these weekly meetings. We would design the shows every week, and I would often advocate to Pete. I would say, Pete, we you know, let's put Charlie Walker on, you know, at the 8 o'clock hour. Let's not have him sit back in his dressing room until 11 o'clock waiting to come out and sing his one song. He's an elderly man. And Pete would look at me and he'd say, Diane, he doesn't sell tickets. You know, and it just would break my heart how it became such a business, right? And I understand all that. But that was my, you know, that's what I cut my teeth on, was that mentality of how many eyeballs can we get this in front of? Who's going to attract ticket sales, and how are we going to fill the room and all that? So coming into this work now, where not only is it, I'm kind of starting over and trying to, you know, get new eyeballs on what it is that I'm trying to share, but measuring it by how many views or how many likes or whatever, it's so ridiculous. And it's like a complete polar opposite measuring stick from what I'm used to. And God's just been telling me and showing me lately that he's going to penetrate the hearts through you or through me that he's targeting, you know, like he's going to reach the people that he's targeting through us. And it's probably not going to be the masses. I mean, he says over and over and over again in the Bible that, you know, wide is the gate to hell, that the narrow is the gate to heaven, that the work is plenty, but the laborers are few. So it's going to be smaller numbers anyway. But the point is, it will get to the right people. And so I just had to come off of that whole mentality of how many eyeballs are on this. And instead, we need to change the questions. We need to change the questions to the people that I do encounter today, or that I will encounter today. How can I be of service to them? Did I leave them with something that made their life better today? Did I leave them with something that brought some hope? If it's one person, when it's God-inspired words or when it's his word, it's enough. That one person, I think about the loaves and fishes, right? And when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount and all these people had gathered, right? And there were thousands and thousands of people, and they realized they didn't have enough to feed them, right? And they had the basket of a few loaves of bread and a few fishes that had been caught from a little boy. And, you know, and that was all they had. And Jesus multiplied that to feed all the people that were there to hear him. Well, I think it's very much the same way when we're talking about pouring into people that we encounter. Like, we can pour God's word into someone to bring them hope, inspire them, you know, give them some truth that they are so thirsty for. And then God can take what we give to them and he can multiply it in ways we could never orchestrate or imagine. Like, that one ripple, that one little pebble in the pond can ripple out and reach thousands and thousands of people. But here's the difference. We probably won't see it. We probably won't be able to be in on how many people we've reached. I'll run into people around town now, and it's like, oh, I've been listening to you. Oh, I really enjoy it. And it's like, I look at the counters and I feel like nobody's listening. I feel like I show up here sometimes. It's like, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? And not that it should be about that. It's not about that anymore for me. But the point is that I'll see people will come up to me. I had a woman come up to me in a bathroom the other day, and she just started sharing with me how much she enjoys the messages and how much they're bringing hope to her and all that. And, you know, I have no idea who she is, and I had no idea she was listening, you know, and this is just some random encounter with a woman in a public bathroom, you know, so we have no idea. And it shouldn't matter. I guess that's the point, is it shouldn't matter. Like, we should not be trying to get any kind of affirmation or validation that what we're saying is reaching people, or what we're sharing, even in our own conversations and stuff, that it's making impact. Like, we shouldn't worry about measuring it. When our only goal is to be of service to the people that we encounter, if it's one person today, if it's 100 people, if it's 1,000 people, if it's 1,000,000 people, the way we show up in the world shouldn't be any different. And our only goal should be to share truth with them, to share hope with them, to share our joy with them, and to not be concerned at all about needing any kind of proof that it got through or any kind of proof that enough people are seeing it. Like, I think that is rooted in, I mean, number one, I think it's rooted in pride ultimately, because we want to see that what we're doing matters. Number two, I think we're insecure. We want affirmation that our purpose is being fulfilled. And I don't think that's human nature. I don't think that we need to beat ourselves up for that, but I think we do need to just check ourselves and say, you know, this really is about God's word pouring out of me, through me, into this person. It's really not about anything else. It just really shouldn't be about anything else. And he will get his word and his message to the person that is supposed to hear it, if we are just willing and open vessels. Like I just kind of think of myself as like this, you know, this river, right? And I just want him to pour into me from the main source, right? And I just want to come through and I just want to pour out to other people. That's the visual that I get anymore. It's like, I just want to pour out what he's pouring into me. And that has to be enough. Like, we need to not be concerned about measuring it at all. And to understand that his word will never return void. So as hard as they try to shut us down on public platforms, on social media, on YouTube, whatever it is, God's word will get through. It'll get through somehow. May not look the way it does for other people, but it will get through. And even if it gets through to just a few people, God can take that like loaves and fishes, and he can multiply that out in ways we could never imagine. So I just want to, remind you to go into your Bible. Like, this helped me so much today, just to go in and be reminded of this. Like, he will make sure that we are on purpose. And our purpose is really, when we are yielded to him and we are fully invested in him, then we can let everything else go. It just doesn't matter. And he will not be censored. His word will always, always get through. Light will always get through in the darkness. So rest easy in knowing that he's got this. He'll make sure that the right people see it. He'll make sure that you have the right conversations with the right people in your sphere of influence. If you're not on any kind of a platform, you know, or even if you are, it doesn't matter. Like, his word cannot be censored. All right, let me pray with you. Father God, I thank you so much that your word cannot be censored. I thank you, Lord, for the reminder today that you you have never, ever been stifled, that your word has always broken through, even the most hostile and tyrannical governments or cultures, Lord, that it always, always gets through. People may choose not to listen, but it always gets through. And Lord, I thank you that this precious woman who's listening today, that, Lord, she is an ambassador for you. And I pray that, Lord, she will be a willing and yielded ambassador for you, and that you will speak through her, and that whatever she says today, Lord, whoever she shares your word with today, that it will penetrate, Lord, that it will not be interrupted, that it will reach its intended target. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. You can be trusted. Your word is the most powerful thing in the universe. And Lord, it will not be diminished, and it will not return void. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies, I hope y'all have a great rest of your evening. And I'm going to sit here and just read my Bible a little bit. I encourage you guys to do the same. It just sets everything right. Whatever this world can throw at us, we get back in here and it just sort of undoes anything that the world can do to upset us. So break out your Bible and maybe grab a hot cup of tea. And I will see you guys back here on Monday. Won't be here tomorrow, but I will be back on Monday. And that's going to be leading into Easter week. And we're going to be talking about all things Easter next week as we lead up to that incredible day. All right. Have a great rest of your day and weekend. I'll see you next week. Lady up. Lady up around this house. Lady up around.